Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Before we start, please check out our new podcast, Good Sleep. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting. They can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for a true good sleep. So press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 3048. You don't find your passion in reflection, it finds you in action. By Dr. Kelly Flanagan of drkellyflanagan.com. And I'm Justin Mollick, your very own personal narrator. I read to you every single day of the year so that you don't have to go find blogs and articles yourself, all in an effort to make your and my days just a little bit better. So with that, let's get right to it and continue optimizing your life. You don't find your passion in reflection, it finds you in action. By Dr. Kelly Flanagan of drkellyflanagan.com. My oldest son, Aiden, is 16, and last weekend he did something that gives me great hope for his life. Actually, he did several things. They had nothing to do with his GPA, nor his SAT scores, nor his college resume. They probably won't have anything to do with his ultimate career. And they didn't give me hope because he was succeeding at something. They gave me hope because he was trying something and working at something. In other words, he was doing what it takes to fumble and stumble and bumble his way toward a meaningful life. You don't find your passion and then start living. You start living, and then eventually, on some distant day, you get a glimpse of your passion in the rearview mirror. There's a paralyzing, debilitating myth going around amongst our young people that you can't really get started on your journey until you have found your passion and you know exactly where that journey will take you. There's an entire industry, books and conferences and summits and master classes, built around selling the formula for finding your passion so you can get on with living your best life. This industry sees a need and tries to meet it. That's a good thing. I have no problem with its existence. I have a problem with its premise. I have a problem with the idea that the finding comes before the living. When I was Aiden's age, I wanted to be a lawyer like Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men. In hindsight, this interest reflected some passion for ideas and persuasion. However, after a psychology course introduced me to the wonder and mysteries of the mind, I abandoned law and declared my major at the University of Illinois to be psychology. While at Illinois, though, my interest shifted from our brains to our relationships. I joined a marriage research lab where I was surprised by a passion for science. So I applied to doctoral programs in clinical psychology. I thought I wanted to stay at Illinois for graduate school. The fates sent me to Penn State. Life will close doors on you. It's not a failure. It's an opportunity to find out what else you're here to do. I met my wife on day one at Penn State, and for a year or two, my passion for relationships was focused entirely on her. Within 2 years, we were married, and within two more years, we were parents. That was 16 years ago. For 16 years, becoming a better dad has been a passion of mine. In graduate school, my passion for science proved temporary. It helped me find my wife, but it wasn't going to help me find a career, and it was replaced with a passion for therapy. I decided all I wanted to do for the rest of my life was sit in a room with one or two people and talk about how to improve their lives. I did this for more than a decade, and it remains a passion of mine, but there are always other passions lurking neglected in the wings. The finding of our passions doesn't happen once, it's an ongoing event. For years, I repeatedly pushed my passion for creating things back into the depths. A few years ago, I stopped pushing and started a blog. My passion for writing grew. I became passionate about publishing a book. It was grueling. I didn't love every moment of it, but that's okay. A passion isn't bliss. It's something you're so extravagantly fond of doing, you'd be willing to suffer for it if necessary. After publishing the book, I started to get invitations to speak to groups, and I discovered a passion for that as well. The kid who once wanted to be a prosecuting attorney now speaks about how to live lovable and love your life. Finding your passion is not about having an epiphany, it's about having experiences. It's about trying the next most obvious thing, even when that thing isn't very obvious at all. It's about getting into the game and learning from the wins and losses. It's not about shaping the future, it's about discerning the shape of your past. These days, when I look back at my journey, I have more clarity than ever about my core passion, my life's mission statement, if you will. I'm passionate about speaking in the tender voice of a father so that people who hear me know they are worthy. In the rearview mirror, you see that your passion is less about what you do and more about how you were made to be. I get to practice this passion for tenderness as a husband and as a father and a practice owner and a therapist and a writer and a speaker and a youth soccer coach and a customer in the checkout line. It's terribly ordinary and yet totally meaningful to me. It's something I can be in everything I do. And it's not static. It too is always evolving. Every time I try something new, work at it, and learn from it. Last weekend, Aiden played one of the leads in his sophomore fall play. And afterward, his castmates honored him with the Best Actor Award. It wasn't the success of it that gave me hope for him. The odds that Aiden makes a career of acting are not high, but he's trying. He's noticing what he wants to do, and he's working at it. And in the work, he's learning about himself, where he finds meaning and where he doesn't. The morning after Aiden's opening night, he awoke to more good news. This fall, he and five friends have, with no financial or logistical help from anyone else, launched their own streetwear company. It went live on Friday afternoon, hours before Aiden went on stage, and within 24 hours, the company was already in the black. I'm not hopeful for Aiden because of the numbers. I'm hopeful because he's trying the next best thing he can think of. He's working at it, and he's learning from it. We don't find our passions in reflection. They find us in action. What is the next most obvious thing that you'd like to try with your one ordinary, fleeting, and precious life? What do you want to work at? What do you want to learn from? What are you waiting for? If it's guarantees or certainty or destination, you'll wait forever. Get started. Do the next best thing. Then eventually, someday, you'll find your passion when you glimpse it in the rearview mirror. You just listened to the post titled, "You Don't Find Your Passion in Reflection, It Finds You in Action," by Dr. Kelly Flanagan of drkellyflanagan.com, and I'll be right back with my commentary. Thank you to Dr. Kelly. I can definitely relate to this personally. When I was in elementary school, I wanted to be a pediatrician. My mom remembers that well. When I discovered music, that's all I wanted to do for quite a while, until I realized that the management of the band was sometimes actually more fun to me than writing new songs, for example. I still enjoyed playing, but I was more and more interested in the marketing of the band, the accounting, as boring as that sounds, the merchandise, the website, all the pieces that are often an afterthought to the music itself. The next thing I knew, I was working to make a website to help bands manage their products online, and I fell in love with entrepreneurship. That was probably 15, 20 years ago. Throughout that time, I don't think I was necessarily looking for my passion or calling. I was just doing the stuff that I was interested in, just like Aiden. I do remember taking quizzes and reading books like Strength Finder to try to help figure out what I should major in and what I could do in a corporate setting. But through all that, the experience itself is what made me figure it all out. So I think this is great advice, especially for the younger crowd. And with that, have a great weekend if you're listening in real time. Thank you for being here. And I'll see you tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.